So this is Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. And we're reading selected points from this chapter, meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that when one chants the holy name of the Lord, then he should meditate on the meaning of the Lord. So I'm just selecting this page on 159. The Madhurya Bhav conception of the Maha Mantra. So of course there's different bhavs. Madhurya Bhav means conjugal love, the divine intimate love between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, or Krishna and the queens of Dwarka, or Narayan and his consorts, Lakshmis and Vaikuntha. This is all called Madhurya Bhav, of different intensities and different levels of expression. Of course the greatest, most intense expression of Madhurya Bhav is in Vrindavan, which is the highest, topmost holy abode of the Lord. And the topmost form of Godhead is Krishna in Vrindavan, Nanda Nandan. So he and his associates, the gopis in Vrindavan, they relish the most complete, intimate and ecstatic form of Madhurya Bhav. So this conception of Madhurya Bhav is also within the Maha Mantra, because who is the Maha Mantra? I'm not saying what is the Maha Mantra, I'm saying who is the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is a who, not a what. It is not an it. Maha Mantra is not an it. Who is the Maha Mantra? Maha Mantra is Radha and Krishna, Sakshat Radha and Krishna Yugal. The Maha Mantra. Right, the mantra devat, the maha mantra, mahabhav Radharani, and mantra devata Sri Krishna. This is maha mantra. And the devata of all mantras is Krishna, Bhagavan. Because every single mantra has om in it. Om namo shivaya, om Sri Ganeshaya namaha, om Ganapatyaya namaha. You name the mantra, om is there, and om is the Krishna. So the mantra devata, so we say maha mantra. So mantra means the mantra devata, Krishna, and maha means mahabhav sarupini Radharani. So when we say maha mantra, this very word maha mantra refers to mahabhav sarupini, the very form of mahabhav, which is the topmost expression of Madhurya prema or Madhurya love, mahabhav. And that form is Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika. Then we say mantra. Mantra means the devata, mantra devata. The lord of all mantras is Narayan, Vishnu or Krishna. Om namo shivaya. Om Sri Ganeshaya namah. Om tad Vishnu paramam param sada pashyanti suryo jiva chakshurtatam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. All these mantras have om. This is the first word. So this om is the devata. So the devata, ultimate devata of every mantra is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Narayan Vishnu, but Krishna the topmost form. So Maha Mantra means Radha and Krishna. And the Maha Mantra, everyone knows what the Maha Mantra is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Hare is Radharani, Krishna is Krishna, and Ram is Radharaman, is Raman. Radharaman refers to Krishna as the giver of pleasure to Radharani, or Krishna who derives satisfaction or happiness in the association of Radharani. So if we examine each of these words that's being described here in this Maha Mantra to understand something of this conception, Hare is the vocative form of Hara. The word Hare in the Maha Mantra indicates Sri Radha, the supreme pleasure potency of Krishna, Haladini Shakti, who forever enchants the mind of Krishna. So Hare refers to Radharani, who is enchanting Krishna's mind. We say, oftentimes you hear one description of Krishna as Manohar, Murli Manohar. Krishna plays his Murli, and with that Murli he captures the hearts of the gopis. Man means heart, mind, Manohar. He steals, he captures, he enchants, he attracts. Manohar, or one who attracts the mind. If you read about Krishna's pastimes and exploits in Vrindavan, or if you see his all-attractive deity forms spread throughout the world, in various temples, or you see the beautiful paintings of Krishna. This morning I happened to walk into the old Govinda's restaurant. There was some door there by the elevator, and it was open, so I was curious. So I walked in, and on the left there is a sign there, it says Govinda's. And Govinda is a painting of Krishna, he's sitting down like this, and he's holding, Krishna's sitting down, he's twirling a rose in his hand, a red rose. And then in the distance there's some trees, and there's some gopis that look like they're searching for Krishna, as if it's Gopi Geet from Ras Leela or something. They're running, searching for Krishna. And he's just sitting there observing from a distance. Beautiful painting. It's done by one of my godbrothers. His name is Prikshit Das. And it's a copy. I'm sure it's Prikshit. Either Prikshit or Murlidhar. They have similar styles. An exquisite painting. And I thought, oh, I wish I had a camera, or I'll tell one of my students to come and take a picture of this. Have you seen that? It's a beautiful, really beautiful picture of Krishna. You go in the door on the left, this old downstairs, or no, here or there, maybe that side. Govinda's, you know? So if anyone has a camera, they can take a picture on the wall before they take it down, and because that's the old restaurant, which is closed. And I'd never been there, so I look and I said, wow, this is enough for me. I don't have to go in the restaurant. This painting, I'm fully satisfied. All my senses, my mind, everything is fully satisfied. So when I saw that painting had the effect of Manohar, stealing my mind, enchanting my mind. And I can't forget that scene, even now. And I was chanting japa later, and I was so much wonderful painting, beautiful painting. Not only expertly executed, but there's a nice bhav, and that's the essential. How is the painting speaking? What is the voice of the painting? The voice of the painting, the mood of the painting, this is called the bhav. Making the point is Krishna's Manohar, but here, Hare, referring to Radharani, we say Hare Krishna. So Hare means Radharani, who is Manoharani. There's Manohar and there's Manoharani. The Radharani, Krishna can capture our mind, his painting, his murti, his leela, his philosophy, his tattva gyan, his siddhanta, and Upanishads, or Gita, the Bhagavat philosophy, or Gita Upadesh. We read, we become, and our mind becomes attracted by the discussion of karma, and Ishvara tattva, karma tattva, jiva tattva, prakriti tattva, jiva tattva. These are the tattvas in the five tattvas in Gita. So they're satisfying to the intellect. But Radharani is Manoharani. She steals the one who steals the mind. Krishna steals the mind in these different ways which we mentioned. But when he simply sees, when Radharani just looks from the corner of her eye, Radha Kripa Kataksha, then Krishna is Manohar. So that's Hare. It's simply one word, Hare. And this rich meaning. Hare brings Radharani to our mind and brings her qualities. Hare is Nam. And then Nam brings Rup, the form of Radharani. And when we have the form of Radharani, then we remember her quality. What's her quality? The quality is being given here. Manoharani. What does it say? Who forever enchants the mind of Krishna. Manoharani, it means we can say Nitya Manoharani. Nitya Manoharani Sri Radha Ki Jai. Because Nitya means forever. Eternal. Never. There's no beginning, no end. This is eternal. No beginning, no end. The jiva is eternal, nitya. No beginning, no end. But our sojourn in the material world can come to an end. We're nitya bhata jivas, but by self-realization, enlightenment, then we can enter the nitya dham. Then there's no more birth. Punar janama navidyate, Krishna's saying. It's Krishna's guarantee in Gita. If you go to his dham, then there's no more rebirth. Punar janma navidyate. Na. Another birth? No. There's not another birth. Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma nayati mamati sorjana. So this is Radharani's position. Now the word Krishna. So this is Madhuriya Bhav. Madhuriya Bhav means conjugal love. most perfectly expressed in the Leela and form of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Then the word Krishna, comes from Akarshan. Akarshan, the same in Hindi, which means attraction. By the melodious sound of his flute, Rajendra Nandan Krishna forcefully attracts Akarshan, the Braja gopis, from their homes. Attracted to Krishna, the gopis abandon their shyness. It's Laja, it's called Laja Dharma. Families, Kula Dharma. Social customs, bodily demands, and other various dharmas, Loka Dharma, Veda Dharma, Kula Dharma, Deha Dharma. Deha means sharir. So all these dharmas, they are the perfect, the Braja Gopis of Vrindavan are the perfect exemplars of Bhagavad Gita. Huh? What is it? Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is in Kurukshetra? This is a philosophical discourse between a distressed friend of Krishna named Arjun, who is failing to uphold his duty as a kshatriya and proposing to take sannyas and run from the battlefield like a coward. The gopis are here in Kurukshetra on the chariot of Parthasarathi? Yes, very much so. Because the gopis are the perfect exemplar of the conclusion of Gita and the conclusion of Krishna's teachings to Arjuna, which is the famous verse of India. Or at least most Indians used to know this verse. But now, when you talk to young people, have you heard of Bhagavad Gita? Young Indians will say, Bhagavad what? Gita what? Well, I don't know. I only know computers. But this verse, because 30 years ago when we first came to India, I would meet people, everyone, we'd meet any Indian person on the train, and they would quote 20 verses from Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Then this is the one. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshay ishami ma shucha. So what does it say? Krishna's telling Arjuna, sarva dharman, and what are we hearing here? The gopis, sarva dharman, they chordye, tyagye, they threw away, they rejected, renounced all dharmas. For what? For manohar. For murli manohar. So Krishna, he attracts them with his flute, Murli Manohar. So this word Krishna means that. And then Ram. Krishna is glorified as Ram because the matchless beauty of his body saturates the mind and senses of the Braj Gopis with the endless bliss. Because there's Ramante Yogino Ananta. And maybe it's... It could be Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, but I think it's one of the Upanishads. It says, Ramante Yogino Ananta. That Ramante Yogino Ananta, that the yogis who practice yoga, they experience unlimited pleasure. Ramante means pleasure in this regard. So this is a fact that Krishna, when we say Ram, this refers to Krishna. And what about Krishna? His matchless beauty of his body. It saturates the mind and senses of the Braja Gopis with endless bliss. Ramante. Another meaning of the word Ra, which is very interesting, this comes from a very esoteric scripture, which Lord Chaitanya quotes. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Mango. It's a conversation between Ananta Shesh and Mother Bhumi. Ananta Shesh is Sankarshan, Vishnu Tattva. And the book is called, it's a book, and it's actually, that's what it says. It says, Sri Dharani Shesha Samvad. Samvad, of course, means conversation. Sri Dharani Shesha Samvad. Shesha means Ananta Shesh, Sankarshan. Bhagavan Sankarshan, Vishnu Tattva. And Dharani, of course, Dharani is a name for Mother Bhumi, who's holding us all up. Dharani. The mother, the supporting mother of all of us is Bhumi Mata, one of the seven mothers of the human society, civilized human society. And she's called Sri Dharani because she's the support. Dharani means support, dar, like support, hold, support. So they had a conversation one day, Mother Bhumi and Shesha. And Nanta said, the word Ram, from the syllable Ra, Radhika comes forth. And from the syllable Ma comes Madhusudan. So Rama means Radhika Madhusudana, or Madhusudan. It's very nice. So when we chant the Maha Mantra, we are totally absorbed in Radha Govinda Yugal, Radha Madhav Yugal. This is Madhurya conception. And we are, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Madhurya Bhaktas, Braja Madhurya. We're worshipping, as I mentioned in one class, I said, other people, other Vaishnava sects and worshippers of Vishnu in the form of Ram or Lakshmi Narayan, or even Krishna, Udupi Krishna, the Madhvas. They're in Vaikuntha Bhav, or they aspire for the Param Gati of Vaikuntha. They are worshipping Krishna, or Vishnu, or some form of Vishnu Tattva. They're worshipping the person through the Navavida Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. And their aspiration is Mukti, Dharmart Kam Moksha. But the unique contribution in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is that we are not worshipping the person, God, we are not hankering for mukti. We are worshipping the sweetness. We are actually worshipping this. We are worshippers of the sweetness. Our Lord is Madhurya Purushottam, Madhav. And our Dham is Madhurya Vrindavan. And that Madhurya Vrindavan is in the heart. It's also in topmost position, Madhurya Vrindavan, Madhurya Krishna Loka. It's in the topmost position in the spiritual world, topmost planet. And that Madhurya Vrindavan is also in the heart when one becomes pure. So there's no need for any liberation. Liberation means to give up the misconception that we're the enjoyers and to realize that we're the eternal servants of Krishna in a particular loving ras. That's liberation. Once you realize that, you're liberated. Iha yasya harer dasya kamrana manasa agira. So, this sweetness is what we're worshipping. And our acharyas, they bring this out. Rupa Goswami says, what is it? There's four different categories of sweetness which we worship as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We worship the sweetness of Krishna's flute, Veno Madhurya. And we worship the sweetness of Krishna's love, his loving dealings with his mother, his brothers, and his gopis, and his servants. That's called Prema Madhurya. And we worship the sweetness of Krishna's Leela and Braj, and Gokul, and Chatikar, and Nandagaon. Nandagaon, that's called Leela Madhurya. Then we worship the sweetness of Krishna's form, his luscious, tasty, attractive, satisfying, fulfilling, encompassing, captivating form. And that's Rupa Madhurya. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas are worshippers of the sweetness of Godhead. Sweet rice. Kheer. And what did Vallabhacharya say? Vallabhacharya, he's in the Vallabha Sampradaya. But he's giving that same indication. He's a whole bhajan about sweetness. Madhurastikam, or what is it called? Madhurastikam or something. Leela Madhura, Yamana Madhura, Venu Madhura. Smitam Madhuram. Your smile is sweet. Your Gamanam Madhuram. You're walking. Your Gamanam Madhuram. Smitam Madhuram. Shristi Madhuram. Your creation is sweet. Your walking is sweet. Your Venu is sweet. Your Yamuna is sweet. Vadanam Madhuram. Vadanam means your face. Vadanam Madhuram, your face is sweet. Then he says, Pralaya, your destruction is sweet. Pralaya Madhura, your destruction. When the whole world is blown up and destroyed, oh, it's very sweet. 9/11, very sweet. Destroy the World Trade Centers, very sweet. Pralaya Madhuram. World Trade Center, Pralaya Madhuram. Of course, we're joking. It's nothing to joke about, the loss of life and such a terrible act of terrorism. But in all seriousness, but the Krishna is, he is sweet. Everything about Krishna is sweet. There's nothing terrible, or there's no terrorism in Krishna's behavior. So we worship the sweetness. So this is this section is called the Madhurya Conception of the Holy Name. And tomorrow we'll read about the... this is a rather intimate expression. We'll read about union and separation in the Mahamantra. But these few meanings that we gave to Hare Krishna and Ram, we can spend tomorrow's japa. And you could meditate on these meanings of these names when you're chanting. I don't know how many devotees have ever thought when they chant Rama that Ra is Radhika and Ma is Madhusudan. Madhusudan. Suda, like Radhara Sudaniti. Suda means nectar, and Madhu means honey. So Madhusudan means one who drinks the sweet honey nectar from the lips of Radharani. He is Madhusudan. Of course, those that are in Aishwarya Bhav, the worshippers of the Vaikuntha conception, they will say that Madhusudan means the killer of Madhu demon, Madhu and Koitab. Madhu and Koitab, these were two demons that stole Suda, like Radhara Sudaniti. Suda means nectar, and Madhu means honey. So Madhusudan means one who drinks the sweet honey nectar from the lips of Radharani. He is Madhusudan. Of course, those that are in Aishwarya Bhav, the worshippers of the Vaikuntha conception, they will say that Madhusudan means the killer of Madhu demon, Madhu and Koitab. Madhu and Koitab, these were two demons that stole the Vedas from Brahma at the beginning of creation in Satyuga. Then Krishna came and killed them because Madhusudan also means destroyer, like Arisudan means destroyer of enemies. So the killer of Madhu, the Madhu demon. But we are not in Aishwarya Bhav. We are in Madhurya Bhav. Madhurya Mahi Bhakti. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're following and practicing Madhurya Mahi Bhakti, which is mixed with the sweetness of Braj. The Braja conception, the Braja angle of vision, and Braja Bhav. One sees according to their Bhav. If you're in Vaikuntha Bhav, then you see Vaikuntha everywhere. If you're in Braja Bhav, which is Madhurya Bhav, you see the sweetness of Braj everywhere. Lord Chaitanya came to teach Brajabhav. And he came to give this vision, this heart, this understanding. So our Rasik Vaishnava charges, they're explaining that Madhusudan means this. So choose your meditation. The killer of the Madhu demon, or that Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, who relishes the Sudha, the Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. He relishes the sweet taste of the divine lips of Srimati Radharani. This is our Madhusudan. Madhusudan. Because our meditation, there must be fixity in meditation. Samadhi. Samadhi. All the various manovritti, all the thought vibrations, all the movements of the buddhi, they must be fixed. Samadhi. They must be fixed on one point. Ekagrata. It's called ekagrata. And Patanjali's Yoga Sutra is called Ekagrata, one-pointed concentration. One Ishtadev, Radha and Krishna. One mantra, Maha Mantra. One process, Sadhana Bhakti, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And one destination, Brajagokul. Right? This is the oneness, this is Ekagrata. Samachita Ridayasya Ekagrata. I forget, there's one shloka in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra about this principle that all the whole consciousness, complete consciousness, should be fixed on one point. So we'll discuss that tomorrow.